see what happens.
What up, worlds? And Diggity, Road to Victory podcast. Today we got a special episode, man. Got the blind boss in the building.
Two songs.
TJ Hackett.
What's happening?
Theodore. And we just here chilling. How you feeling, brother?
Fantastic and only improving, dog. You already know, man.
Speaking my love language.
I'm speaking the love term.
Yo, like, let me.
That's the language of love, expression of love. Like, I'm sorry, I put so much emphasis on it so much, but yeah, that's just you. That's your label, man. You got a lot of brand.
I appreciate that. Yo, interesting couple of days, man. Interesting couple of days. So I'll start off like this. I go to the doctor because I have new insurance, you know, with my last job. I lost the insurance with the job and I got the kidney failure, the congestive heart failure.
Yeah.
So I get the new insurance. Go to the doctor, and I'm like, "Yo, doc, I need a heart doctor. I need a dermatologist, a dentist, and all this and all that." They were like, "All right, bet we gonna hook it up." Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we got a cardiologist ready, an open appointment an hour away. I'm like, "Oh, for sure." I got the time. I'll go do it. So
Right then and there.
So I leave the doctor's office, and I travel downtown. Travel downtown about 30 minutes away, and I get there to the cardiologist. Bless you. Damn. And they like, "Yo, we don't take your insurance."
Oh wow.
I was like, "Yo, bruh, really?" I couldn't even be mad because that's the type of effort I've been giving myself lately, you know?
That's what you mean?
That's the type of effort.
Yeah.
You gotta light it. That's the type of effort I've been giving myself lately. And so I couldn't even be mad that somebody else was giving me the same thing I was giving myself. You know what I'm saying? So that's the only.
Not really. Like who to be? Like, how is that you giving you that effort of
wrong direction? Just going in the wrong direction, bruh.
Well, yeah, I could see that.
Just going in the wrong direction. You ending up in the wrong places. Y'all don't hear me, though. I'm talking to somebody.
You was directed.
Yeah, yeah.
By the doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it is a messed up world, I guess, where, yeah.
where the people like,
you're supposed to listen to.
But it's showing me, like, your self-reliance. Like, you really, the life you want to live and everything that you desire, bro, nobody's not gonna do it for you. Nobody's not gonna save you. And
your T's and dot your I's.
Yeah, for real. Yeah,
for real.
What's been killing me, I'm somebody that's so used to being saved, bro. I'm somebody that somebody always rescued me, no matter what. You know what I'm saying? To the point where, you know, you gotta get to a point where you gotta start to learn to save yourself. Save yourself, bro. Unless, because if I don't learn to save myself, I'm going to die broke. And I ain't talking about money, blind boy. So I'm going to die broke. Broken. Broken. What a life to live. Broken. Broken. You know, it's funny. Shout out my boy, Swish. Swish came through, spent the weekend with your boy. Shout out for y'all, let me give you a picture of who this dude is. This dude is, he came into this country from Switzerland. That's why I call him Swiss, because he from Switzerland. Like any other nicknames, if you from the hood.
And wherever they from. That's
wherever you from.
Yeah, I remember Miami. Yeah.
Like Kevin Hart said, if somebody walk around with 1 foot bigger than the other, you're like, oh, Bigfoot, what up? You know, it's stuff like that. So Swiss from Switzerland came to this country as an exchange student, didn't speak a lick of English, and surfed couch to couch for a year. Now he's doing exceptionally well, you know, he's like a head editor or something like that for a major company. And that's my dog. That's my dog. That's my dog. Dog. He came through. He had a game plan, and it was divine intervention, bro. Like everything that you going through, I'm gonna throw a wrench in right now, and I'm gonna send you Swiss to spend a weekend with, bro. We woke up. It's funny because he came Friday night, right? Came Friday night. We chopping it up.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo. He said, yo, let's go to bed. You know what I'm saying? We got a day tomorrow. We're going to go to a yoga class. I ain't never did yoga in my life, bro. Especially in front of people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we go to yoga class. 8 a.m. Bam. Wake up 8 a.m. I was going to say it's funny because, you know, he like, yo, Friday night, he like, yo, let's get some rest. We got a day ahead of us tomorrow. I ain't hear that since I was 10, bro. Let's go to sleep early because we got.
Yeah.
I grew up trying to break night for no reason. For no reason. I grew up trying to just break night as a skill. Like I could put it on a resume. Can stay up long amounts of hours. But, yeah, so we go. Set yoga 8 a.m. Wake up for yoga 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. My man had the whole day planned. Yoga. Then after yoga, we ate Indian food. My first time eating Indian food. Then we went home and he did speed dating. Never did speed dating before. Did speed dating. Then we had dinner. We had Greek for dinner.
When all this happened?
Huh?
When all this happened?
This Saturday. This is Saturday. I'm talking about back to back to back to back to back. Everything planned, bro. Mm. So it was the yoga. After yoga, we did lunch at an Indian spot. My man showed me. I forgot what the spot was called, but it was the Indian version of Chipotle's. The same thing as Chipotle's, but just at the Indian version. And their food was fire, too. So shout out them. And we went there. And then after that, we went home, we showered. And then he went out to speed dating. And then he did that on his own. And then after speed dating, we went and got dinner. We had some Greek food for dinner. Fire Greek spot in the LES. Fire. I'm terrible with names. I don't even look up. As long as I'm eating, the name of the restaurant don't matter. The only way I remember it. The restaurant name, if it was bad, and I know not to go there to eat again.
So that's bad. I'm like, I got an excuse. I'm blind, so I can't see the sign.
I can only tell you by the way the food tastes where we at. But
I don't remember half the spots I go to.
So I
just call it the food spot.
So then we did dinner Greek, and then we hit a couple nightclubs up, and then we wound up getting home 6 in the morning. From 8 a.m. to 6 in the morning, we talking about nonstop, bro. And this was planned. Like, he already knew everything he was going to do probably 2 weeks before he even came to spend the weekend, bro. And you know what I'm saying? Like new experiences from 8 a.m. to 6 a.m. Structured, bro. And it's just like, yo, bro, when it's keys to success, when you think about successful habits, you know what I'm saying? I heard this saying, somebody said, if my routine is off, my results are off. Just to have that routine, you know, no matter what it is, no matter what you're trying to do, that was, because the yoga, the energy we created in the yoga fulfilled us for the whole day. We ran off the energy because that was the first thing we did. Yeah. You know, how you start your day is how you end your day, right?
Yeah, I do that with Tai Chi. Yeah, wake up in the morning, do the Tai Chi. Yeah, it gives you energy. I'm supposed to do it twice a day.
And it's crazy. Going back to the yoga, you know, that was a new experience for me because I went in it in a new environment with a new mindset. So I'm there, and usually, you know, you count when you do a new experience, you count how many black people in the building. Like, oh, ain't no black people here. You know, and you focus on everything that really don't matter and stuff like that.
You've been going through that a lot lately.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is your new job. Yoga.
For real, I might be racist. Nah. But it was like, yo, that none of that mattered, bro. All that mattered to me was me not quitting when it got hard. Me not quitting and me giving it the best I could. You know what I'm saying? Me giving it everything. Not half stepping, not half trying to. I could not do one move. Like this, the instructor was like 84 years old, and he spent half the 2 hour session on his head. So I couldn't, you know. But I did the best I could. I did my best, and I didn't quit. And everything else didn't matter, bro. I didn't care how funny I look. I didn't care how. I was the only black person in the class, bro. It was just about giving effort. Yeah, man. Just about giving effort.
I want to do some yoga now.
Yo, world, we could go Saturday, bro.
But it was like free classes?
Nah, you got to pay. You got to pay like you weigh.
Yeah, I weigh about 250. So that's how much you got?
$25, bro.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so at least the first two numbers is right.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, cool.
But, yo, for real, man, just that showed me, like, you gotta fix your brokenness. Like, switch come over. I live by myself, right? I usually keep the lights off because I'm used to being in the dark. Like, some of y'all adapted to the dark. I was born in the dark and molded by it. Yeah. Yo, so I spent a lot of time in the dark. So Swiss was like, yo, it's not normal to just be sitting there in the dark, bro. And it takes somebody.
How do you do it?
Yeah, it takes somebody from the outside to tell you. To tell you that and stuff like that, you know. So fix your brokenness or you're going to die broke, man. Fix your brokenness. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why I was broken, bro. Broken, like, I think about, you know, my mom's and pops both dropped out of high school. My grandmother's dropped out of high school. You know, we got a long list of people dropping out of high school in my family, right?
Right, yeah.
Like it happens. Yeah. Shout out to Fresh. Yeah. Fresh Moms is the first one in my family to get a college degree, if I'm not mistaken. But she was the first one in our family, the list of family, to get a college degree, which was probably in the 90s, bro. Which is probably in the 90s. But I digress. I forget what I was talking about. Oh, but I was saying fix your brokenness. My mom's dropped out of high school. So when I was in school, she put her fears of dropping out of high school on me. Now, she put me in this program called Resource Room, right? Resource Room. Resource Room, It looks and sound like special ed, but it's not really special ed. Like, you in the classroom with like two to three other people, and the classroom is the small classroom and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I think I need a like resource room, because I always seen the kids getting up and like leaving the class with resource room, and I never knew what it was, but for some strange reason I always wanted to go. Like,
that's weird, exactly.
That alone should have just said, yeah, I need a resource room. They just gave me it.
But resource room is not that. Resource room was, and this for anybody that didn't go to, even if you did go to like public school and stuff like that, but resource room was, it was a place to give you more time. So like when we had to take like those standardized tests, they pulled us out of class and we had to go to another classroom because the test had a time limit, but we didn't have no time limit. And as an adult, like right now, I'm craving extra time, you know, because I never know when my time is up. But as a kid, with the extra time, it's like, yo, what's wrong with me? Why my mom's don't feel like, what, my brain not as fast as everybody else? Like, what's wrong? I don't know what's going on. Like, am I not good enough to hang with the other kids while they take the test? You know, this is me at, what, 9, 10, 11 years old, bro? Like, why I got to be taken out of class to be put in a special class to have more time at 12 years old? And then it was like, it started in elementary, and then went all the way to high school, you know? And I just always, that was the beginning of the, you know, the path to like low self-esteem and confidence, because you're like, why are you not smart enough to be able to hand your work in on time? Why are you not starting on? So when I'm at yoga for the first time, doing the first exercises, and the sensei after class asked me, do you understand me? I'm like, yeah, I understand you. He was like, why everybody else could transition in the position and you the only one struggling? Come on, man, y'all don't hear me though. Fix your brokenness. And I flash back to the needing extra time. My grandmother sending me to the store with a note like, I don't have any money, but I'll pay you back on the first. Hey, we need these groceries. And I had to give, instead of giving the guy behind the counter money, give him a note. And he knew who my grandmother was. You know, broken, bruh. Broken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that the step below going to the store with food stamps? Like going there with the note?
Going there with the note. Well,
that's kind of normal because parents used to make their kids go to the store and get their cigarettes for the stores that they knew them.
Right.
Even alcohol in some stores. Like,
no, your parent had to be somebody. They had to know your parents.
Yeah, and know the kids.
Yeah, they had to know the
parents. Like, I wonder if the parents introduced the kids to them on purpose. Like, you know, I would be sad at him, man. And that's how it starts.
For real, one step. So I'm a week without porn or masturbation. Proud, bro. Try to fix the brokenness. Proud, right?
I didn't know porn was a broken thing.
Oh yeah, bro. When it's just you, bro. When it's just you, bro.
You know, so when porn is a part of your daily routine.
When I'm alone in the room, sometimes I stare at the wall. Yeah, bro. bro. Yo, I'm telling you, this joint felt like a burn, because I thought I was never going to get out of this addiction, bro. Never. But what got me out of this addiction is like, yo, bro, you don't want to live a full life and then die, then look back, and all you did was went to work and beat your meat. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, the difference between, well, let me ask you, what's your interpretation on the difference between studying and doing your homework?
Studying and doing your homework?
Yeah.
I say you would have to study the material in order to do your homework. So it's the homework, the study is the practice. The homework is the actual game.
So if you don't study, how could you do your homework?
You could do it, but it don't mean that it's gonna be right.
Well, exactly. That's my point. I mean, sometimes it's a little bit hard to grasp, because honestly, I'm still working on it too, because I've been going through a little bit of the same things. Like, if I just would have quote unquote studied properly, then
I like how you word it. Hold on. I like how you word it. I'm all out there beating my meat. you doing the quotations. Study. I can see this is a teaching moment. I'm learning, bro.
Good stuff. We all learning. We grow and we learn. We do it every day. But yo, on the real though, like if you is just start studying more instead of quote unquote just doing the homework. You know what I'm saying? Because like just doing homework, you just get your answers off the internet, whatever.
Right.
you're not learning nothing. But if you would have just take those steps that you need to take instead of most of the time assuming or just focusing your mind on something else.
Right.
You know, and then we'll be able to achieve most of our goals. And that retrospect is the little goals that will equal your larger goal. And I failed that lesson honestly this week, right along with you.
Nah, I want y'all to hear what he's saying. What he's saying is powerful. It just hit me like a ton of bricks, bro.
It happens. And I was real mad too. I ain't get nothing I was supposed to get done at all, and it's all because I didn't study. So I thought I knew something, and I had the opportunity and I had the time to do what I had to do, and because I didn't do it, I failed in my future events. You know what I'm saying? And they say there's a reason for everything, and that's not only because something is different or something else is meant for me. No, like the reason for this is because I failed into doing something. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I learned how to take that responsibility to make things better. That's all.
Right, bro. Right. It's like when I was trying to quit the addiction, you know, everybody was telling me it's not an addiction. When the addiction had control of me. It was like how Richard Pryor said, told me when to wake up, when to go to sleep, when to eat, and when to shower.
Yeah, that sound like an addiction.
Yeah.
When addiction is something that control your life.
But yeah. Everybody told me that it wasn't an addiction, and that was normal, but it didn't feel normal. Going outside and then seeing women one way, that didn't feel normal, bro. And it felt like creepish, you know what I'm saying? Mm. When the attention is just lust, you know, because in the back of the mind, you're trying to reenact what you just saw. You know, art imitating life, or life imitating art. You know? So, but...
Well, I mean, like, what if one was to tell you in order to get used to something, or in order to control something, you had to be around it more?
I had to be around it more.
Yeah, like that's practicing, isn't it?
What you
like? If you want to get good at something, you have to practice at it.
What you trying to say, bro?
I'm trying to say. I don't know.
You trying to say switch hands? You should...
Or do two for special, two for my special. Like, I don't know. What would you say to people that say that? Because honestly, that's true. To help yourself know how to do something, you do have to do it more. You do have to do it consistently, don't you?
Nah. Because too much of something is never a good thing. No matter what it is.
Well, of course, that's too much. But still, that don't mean you still don't have to at least do it enough to know it.
Do it enough to know it?
Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be around it. It's like internships.
I get what you're saying. $1 trillion energy, and then we grow up and live these hyperceptual lives. Like chasing women, you know, even as kids, you remember playing house, being like 10, 11, and 12. You had your wife, you had the kids. You know what I'm saying? We was in the park playing house. We had the wife, kids. We had to go to work. The wife had to keep the 10, 11.
Well, we was playing dirty house.
Imitating what the grown-ups do. I'm saying, bro. All of that. We talking about growing up in a household where it was one cable but two TVs, so you had to watch with. And then my pops, he used to be like, yo, don't turn that TV on. Don't turn the TV on. And then you turn it on anyway because you don't listen. And you get exposed to, you know what I'm saying?
You get exposed.
Ain't that crazy? It's weird now thinking back, you and your pops watching the same material. I should call them and discuss what we watched 30 years ago. Pops, you remember that?
No, that ain't going to work. What kind of conversation would that be?
But going back to it, it felt like a burden. Like, I'm 7 days, no pornography, no masturbation, bro. It felt like a burden being lifted. I feel like Bruce Leroy with the glow. You know, women, you know, my eye-to-eye contact game is on the money now. Confidence through the roof.
So, yo.
You hear it in my voice, bro.
And so, let me ask you this. What if you like go to the next step then? Like, instead of every time you feel like watching porn, you just do something else.
That's what it's been like for the last 7 days. It's like, all right.
Oh, you've been doing something else.
Yeah, Swiss had came over for the weekend, and we had the eventful weekend. We did another documentary. Y'all stay tuned. This one gonna be fire. And we got a lot of stuff in the works. So we did that, and it was just like, that was just it. Like, yo, this energy, come on, Ant, look at your life. Look around you. Who are you? You know what I'm saying? And you just start self-reflecting and examining and waking up like, all right, yesterday, what did I accomplish? All right. You know what I'm saying? And you start to, like you said, start to put your energy towards what you want your life to look like, bro. And put your energy towards what you want your life to look like. So it was a burden being released. You know what that feel like? I'm going to tell you right now, it's equivalent to being in a room about to get jumped by 20 dudes. And then Wolverine walk in like, yo, Ant. You good? You like, ah, let's go. No lie, bro. No lie.
Yeah. That sounds like a good feeling. I mean, like, I have to be my own Wolverine. So a lot of the time, but yeah, that is a good feeling.
Yo, but fixing your brokenness, man, never having a fight. Bro, you know I ain't never have a fight a day in my life, 35 years old. At the time, I thought it was a good thing, bro.
You mean like a one-on-one fight?
Yeah, I've been jumped and stabbed and got my head busted open more than I can remember,
like,
bro.
Oh, type shit, but you just never had a one-on-one fight.
Never had a one-on-one fight because I always avoided confrontation. And then somebody always fought for me. Somebody always fought for me, bro. No matter what, somebody always came to the rescue. And now I'm 35 learning how to fight. And I ain't talking about physical. I'm just talking about, you know what I'm saying, not taking no for an answer. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
and I got to learn that this late. It's never late, too late, but this late. It's never too late, but this late. I'm learning 35 because people was like, no, Ant, I got this. I got this. I'm going to stand up for you. I'm saying, nah. Oh, I'm going to fight him for you. Or, because you ain't got the courage. I know you ain't, because I had no courage. I had no confidence, bro. And people saw that. And they saw that I didn't never want to do nobody harm or disrespect nobody. Or, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted people to be comfortable around me. And that's all I wanted. If I made you laugh, you know, that was the whole goal. That was a successful day for me, and you know.
Yeah, but it's more than that.
Yeah,
because you know how to make people laugh.
I was telling Kaya earlier. Shout out Kaya, that's like, my dog. Shout out Kaya. I was telling him earlier, like I could make you laugh, but I don't feel funny no more, bro. Cause ain't shit funny.
That's funny. Ain't shit funny. it's just about things to keep you going. If you need that laughter to keep you going, then that's just what you gotta do.
You gotta find it again, bro. On the way back, it's 3 in the morning.
Stay focused.
It is 3:35 in the morning. I ran to McDonald's to get the blind boy something to eat, right? I ain't get nothing because I don't eat that shit. But I seen this dude that we called Train Man. He used to hang out around 125th. And I remember how strong he was. And he used to tell it. Some of y'all know if you ever been on a 4, 5, or 6 train. Going downtown from 125th, he'll tell jokes on the train. He a comedian, like, whatever, right?
I think I heard him before.
Yeah, call him Train Man. And he tell jokes. He was the homie, too. See him, what up? He practicing material on you, didn't take it on the train. Cool dude. And I remember how strong he was. I haven't seen his brother in probably like five or 10 years, and I just saw him just now. He looked so weak. He was out in front of the McDonald's, panhandling and like hurt. He like looked hurt. He had on one of them walkers that you sit in. I literally see the death in his eyes, bro. I see the death in his eyes. When I used to see...
How old is he?
Huh?
How old is he?
He probably like 60. I don't even know. Because the drugs make you look 30 years older than you are, bro. He
probably 32.
I forgot what show was that. I was watching All My Children, Al Bundy. And they said he was saying how women stress you out. And they had an old dude that looked like at least 105 years old. Old dude, Al Bundy was like, you see that old dude over there? He's 31. And he looked like he was like 105 years old. But anyway, yeah, I used to see so much life in him, bro. And he used to tell a joke on the train, but to see, like, you see, when you see the hope lose, the hope die out of somebody's eyes, bro, that shit hurt, bro. I guess that's why what we fighting for. That's just why we do this podcast. You know, so the hope to keep hope, the hope don't die, bro. Cause I seen it, bro. I seen the life. It's like equivalent to if you ever seen Rocky, and you know he gets knocked down versus Apollo Creed, and Apollo Creed knocked him down, and they keep yelling, "Stay down, stay down," and then he get back up, and that look of defeat that's on Apollo Creed's face. David Goggins talk about it in his book. That look of defeat, because Rocky he couldn't knock Rocky out, and Rocky just wouldn't stay down. No matter how many times he got put down, he wouldn't stay down. Or the famous Muhammad Ali story, where Muhammad Ali fought George Foreman. And George Foreman was tearing him up, bro, tearing him up. But George Foreman's problem was he ran out of gas. And when he ran out of gas, Ali said, "Is that all you got?" And when Ali told George Foreman, "Is that all you got?" He saw the life leave his body, bro. He saw the defeat in his face once he said, "Is that all you got?" So that's how we gonna fix the brokenness, bro. No matter what happened to us, the way we respond is that, and it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt, bro. You ain't even, it's gonna be times you're not even gonna be able to get out the bed, bro.
Yeah, that's what I said. Consistency. Sometimes you just gotta get it done so many times that you either gonna win. Eventually, you use every and utilize everything that all the pain and lessons that you learn to succeed, or it's just gonna keep breaking you. Like, and it's sad for ones that get broke. And you know, it's funny, there's so many people that you don't even realize that's broken already. And like, they're probably regular, normal, day-to-day, nine-to-fivers, honestly. I feel like they not living their life. Or they ever, no, they never gonna live their life. And it's sad, really.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
you're gonna die broke. You're gonna die if you don't get... man, that sermon I saw...
I probably say this is how you know if you broke. Stop doing something or do something for that 21-day mark. If you could do it and or stop doing it for 21 days, that means nothing could break you.
That means nothing could break you?
That could break you. Like... You just like if you want, like you say with your poor, just stop doing poor for 21 days, just like that, no matter what it is. If you know for a fact you could do that, then you know for a fact nothing could break you. Like, or stop smoking for 21 days. If you could do that with no problem, then you know nothing could break you.
Stop drinking. Yeah, those are examples. We have clues to excellence, you know, examples to successes in our lives. And it's tough because you might be fire in one area and lack in the other area, because you might be a dope father, but you broke. And you know what I'm saying? You might have the bag, but you don't got faith. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but 50 said that in 48 Laws of Power, though. He said, why focus on doing stuff you know how to do?
Ooh, like, that's good. That's good.
Work on doing stuff you don't know how to do. That's good. Man, that's one thing I agree with that book. You know, like, you know.
Yo, it's funny. Me and Swiss went out. I'll tell you the nightclub part, right?
So we went. Nah, yeah, you ain't even tell. Yeah.
So we went out. We basically was learning how to talk to women, bro. Both of us. Because I don't go out. If you know me, I'm a homebody. I'm always at home or I'm with my family. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't been out in so long unless I'm going to a restaurant for dinner. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know. I might as well be like 87. I don't know the dance. I barely could two. I give you one step. I can't even give you two. I give you one step.
Don't you know they're doing the whack now?
I give you one step. But you know what I'm saying? But it was just an experience just to go out there and just try to learn how to talk to women.
You said sometimes it's a different world. I mean, like, I just be myself now. And I don't even try anymore. Like, I'm at that age. It's like, hunting is just a overrated process for me. Yeah. It's like, yo, let's just vibe. Let's just chill out. You know what I'm saying? If we click, we click. If you want to have sex, let's just have sex. Whatever. Like, but I'm not into pursuing anymore.
Oh, you lost your power.
I wouldn't say you lost your power.
You lost your mo. You out here like Austin the Powers. Nah, but powerless. It's just
like we grew up doing what we do. We had plenty of women. It's like I experienced so many different females in so many different ways, so many different races. And it, for the most part, it's just all the same. It's literally all the same.
Shout out y'all having them two-year one-night stands. Them two-year one-night stands.
Yeah.
When you don't know how to tell a chick to get out.
That's easier to just pay her. You know what I'm saying? But on a real though, like, I just rather just chill out and not even like stress. There's more important things in life than chasing women and all of that.
Yeah,
I mean, man. Like, look at the day that y'all had that didn't even include females. Mm.
But we was looking for females through the whole day.
I mean, like, I'm hungry too. I mean, because that goes without saying, yeah. Because that's what guys do. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, at the same damn time, like, I don't go pursuing it, though. But I'm damn sure if I see some or hear some, hello.
But that's why? Cause that's to keep your mojo, bro. That's to keep.
No! It's like, because it's just because sometimes you just like the way you look. It's the smell. It's the essence. It's the ambiance of just being around a person that suits your interests.
You know what it is? It's catching fish, right? Learning how to catch fish. So you catch a fish, right? But you don't keep it. You throw the fishes back in the water. So you catch a fish. You know, you take a picture with it, throw it back in the water. You catch a fish, you throw it back in the water. Now the fish jumps back on the boat, right? The fish jump back on the boat. You're like, oh, shit, this must be special. This fish is on the boat. All right. So now you gain now you gain interest with the fish. And the fish is later down the line. The fish is like, yo, why you still got a fishing rod? Like, you don't need to fish no more.
What I tell you?
You don't need to fish no more.
It's a trap. Like, there you know that.
And
if you ever go fishing, the fish jump into your boat.
Because when she say that to you, that's her trying to make you uncool so she could leave. You know, not even so she could leave, so you could, she could. Because when you like somebody, it's kind of like they got a spell on you. So you got to start looking for flaws. A lot of us look for flaws. And we either learn to accept them, or we try to change them, or we be like, that's our bailout. We'll walk away from the whole relationship.
Or flaws within themselves.
Yeah.
When you're so conscious ass motherfucker.
Yep. So when she tell you get rid of your fishing pole, you say, listen, if I didn't have this fishing pole, I wouldn't have met you. But that's equivalent to say, this is what keeps me, is what keeps me sexy.
Like, I don't know.
I
didn't agree with that Players Club shit, man.
This is what keeps me sexy, because if I didn't know how to fish, you wouldn't want to. In the first place.
I'm saying it's probably not true, but yeah. Because then why is she keeping you? And then once you change, then she ain't gonna want you no more. So yeah, that's probably a good point too.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, it's difficult, but I'll meet Mrs. Right. I think it's like that connection, bro. And it's like you have to reach a certain point in your life where you supposed to be. In all circumstances, you are where you're supposed to be. And then you just gonna bump into somebody else where they supposed to be in life, and then y'all could start a life. And I think this has a lot to do with why divorce rate is like 56%, and like nobody's getting married no more, because people don't believe in themselves and they're not where they want to be in life. Bro, it's hard, bro. Imagine waking up 35 years old, you know, no kids, and still got to convince yourself you still enough, bro. Imagine, you know, imagine going, you know, not having no money, waking up to no money, no job, and still having to convince yourself you still enough. You still enough. That shit is hard, bro. That shit is hard, but I'm realizing, bro, the solution to that is just flip it, bro. Just flip this. Life won't happen until you just flip the switch, bro. Instead, you just get out your head, get out your feelings, and just make the adjustments. 1, 2, 3. Like, a lot of times we look at it as a safety net, you know, and we go with what's oh so comfortable, like, not getting out of whether it's like not getting out of the bed, or not confronting what you're afraid of, or what people think, more importantly.
You afraid of what people think about you?
Am I afraid of? Not no more, bro. Bro, I almost died, bro. Kidney failure, heart failure. Bruh, I don't even care, bro. I'm just trying to stay alive, bro.
That's how I got too many problems to care
about. Yeah, bro. That's number 197 on the list. I'm on my 57 second chance, bro.
I think I care about what people think about me to an extent.
Uh-huh.
And certain people, of course. Because it's like, like people like you.
Yeah.
Like I care about what you think about me, and I care about what Kaya think about me, and you know people like y'all, Fresh and all that.
Right.
Yeah, family. You know, but for anybody that I don't know, nah, like I could care less about what you hear, what you think about.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of stuff. Like yo, it's people you gonna interact with every day, and you still not gonna see them at your funeral. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
it's
no, I looked at things like that differently. Because, like, when it comes to funeral, me, honestly, I think I want to be cremated anyway. And just go on and just be happy that, I mean, ain't no more drama, no more pain. I mean, like, I don't want to sit here and say, you know, I see death as, like, a happy thing. But, like, it's definitely a transitional. It's definitely something different. It's... Like I had to find a way to deal with the people that died in my family, and then learning about it. It's like you know what? It doesn't really even matter if anybody is at your funeral or not, because you're no longer gonna affect their lives the way you affected it when you was around.
Right.
And they got to live with that for the rest of their lives. You know what I'm saying? They're going to recognize that change. So regardless if they was there or not, like, all of the pain is just going to be on you because you chose not to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, so.
But that's what I'm talking about, giving your energy towards that type of mentality. That's what holds us back.
That's giving your energy towards the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's what's hurting us. That's what's hurting us. That's a part of our brokenness.
What would you say I put my energy towards that's holding me back? Like, as a man to man, not as my friend, like as a real dude, as a real man.
I feel like you're afraid of the responsibility that it is to be successful. I feel you have a fear of the responsibility that's come with success.
Hell yeah. Like, yo, you know how dangerous being successful is? Like, yo, I consider myself successful, and I have to deal with a whole bunch of bullshit. And, like, look how small my life is now.
But
like, I can, like, oh, man, my life.
And I'm guilty of it, too, because I'm the same way, bro. But it's the success that's going to – it's the success that – is the foundation to lead a good life. You know what I'm saying? That's all I want. I don't want nothing else. I just want to live a good life.
Well, what's your interpretation of a good life? I mean...
Space, good times. Space, good times, health, love. Bro.
No, you just naming words.
I'm just naming words. What's my definition of a good life?
That nigga just started saying bad words.
Like somebody was slipping feet of words. Like I typed in AI real quick. like I was reading over AI.
Somebody talking to you through a microphone and you're always hearing static. So you just keep saying words. That's what you're like, I don't know.
Now, that's a deep question. What's the definition of a good life? Whoa. It got to be more than just in good finances. It got to be a sense of peace. Mm-hmm. A sense of a good life is, I don't want to say when you don't have to worry about anything, because it's homeless people that don't worry about nothing. Well, yeah. I don't mean to laugh at
who
that.
Who knows? So they probably happy, I think.
That they ain't got to worry about that.
Like, yeah, you see them hoes, see how they look. They be having bugs all over them. Their skin all eating up at them. Like, they all smelly. I don't know if they happy, but if they doing it, I don't know. I guess they happy. So, like, what you think? You think there's a happy homeless man in New York City?
Happy homeless? Have happy moments?
Yeah, happy homeless. So do those exist in Manhattan?
We gonna cut that part out of the interview. You've crossed the line, brother. What it is to live a good life? I'm really puzzled.
Well, my interpretation of a good life is anything that I guess you would say set off my, no, I'm not even gonna say that. Anything that helps me realize I live a normal life. Dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, my little cousin, she called me and asked me for money. And I think she's starting to smoke weed now. So yeah. She's coming of age. She's becoming a young teenager. And, you know, I'm just thinking back, like all the stuff that I was doing when I was, you know, around that age. And it's just like the only thing I could do is just, you know, give her the best advice that I could give her and, you know, got her on the right path and just hope that she makes the right decisions. But just being able to do stuff like that, you know, being that positive role model in people's life, you know, that's stuff like that gives me peace.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that makes me feel happy knowing that I could be that person to make somebody else happy.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I love that feeling too.
And then also, like being able to provide to, you know, to make that person happy. You know what I mean? And not just finances, but like and talking or whatever too.
Sexual.
Like going out. What?
Sexual. What
the fuck you talking about?
Said provide.
You said just
hey, you
just
said provide, and you ain't talking about finances. What else you talking about? You talking about
there's advice, nigga. Yeah, stop watching portals.
That's the withdrawal coming out. That's the withdrawal.
Yeah. Well, it's all right, I understand. You got 7 days, you got 14 more days.
Like, yo, I will stop smoking for 7 days too, starting today. Hell yeah.
You said that already too.
When?
The last time.
Nah, I ain't never. Nobody on the podcast know I smoke. This is
are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, they do now.
Hi.
I mean, like, they done heard
the lightest
word. Like,
it ain't the stove.
They heard you in your voice. Like, they heard you holding the smoke, smoking and blowing it. Like, they heard all of that. Like, all of, you don't be hearing it in the.
I don't
podcast.
Listen to this.
I
I just put it out in the universe, and I hope, you know, people take what they need to take from it.
I don't know if you're the only one that do that.
I mean, we were just listening to...
We might have to Google that.
We were just listening to Shannon Holmes' episode. That was incredible. That was one of the incredible interviews I had. But yeah, man, fixing this brokenness, y'all. Y'all got to get to it, man. Don't die broke, man. Don't die broken, man. Take the necessary steps, you know, because you can't pray your way out of brokenness. You got to go get an x-ray and go get it fixed. You have to get it fixed. Nobody could fix it for you. You responsible. You accountable. I'm not even talking to y'all. I'm talking to myself, man. Yeah, Blind Boss, you got something to say before we log out? You got everything you needed to get off your chest? I still got another hour of work. But we're gonna stop this one, then we're gonna start another one since we're over an hour.
I'll probably like to say I had a good day. And I'm glad about the way it ended.
And you're glad about the way it ended? Was it structured?
Like you said, you know, the key is not giving up, and I know I didn't give up.
Was that no, all no you matter. Got?
Yeah, exactly. it's like Antoine Fisher said, I'm still standing.
I'm still here.
Strong.
You can't break me.
You know, shit, it's real out here to fail. No, but yeah. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm the dude to never give up.
My man, love you, Blind Boss.
Two times.
All right, this is the Road to Victory podcast. I wish you all love, peace, health, wealth, and truth always. Peace.